Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Exciting. Glory to God. The title of the message this morning is "The Tomb is Empty." Empty. Now, I want to start by reading a verse in Habakkuk. Surprise, surprise. Chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. See, somebody came into my office, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they said, they sat down and they kind of said, "When are you going to preach one of your father's sermons?" And I thought, I'd do that every week, you know what I'm saying? I hope. I trust. But you know, he was talking about my natural father. And I thought, that's a really strange thing to say. And that's what I said. And then I kind of put it on the back burner, like you do with things like that you don't fully understand when someone says it. And it was only just in the last few days that I began to realize something. You know, I mean, I heard my father preach, I don't know how many thousand times. I don't remember any of his sermons, to be perfectly frank. Most of the time I was sitting in the back row making paper airplanes out of Wrigley's chewing gum papers, you know what I'm saying? Because we were the minister's family, we got a cushion in our seat, and we moved it from the front seat where it was supposed to be to the back seat, so that we could kind of not disturb everybody else, you know what I'm saying? And so I don't really remember, I last probably heard him preach when I was probably about, I don't know, 20 or something. That's going back quite a number of years, 30-something years. And so I thought, well, I don't really, as far as I know, there are recordings out there, but I don't possess any recordings of his sermons, of his preaching. There was loads and loads of things written down, but I don't know what happened to that. That's all gone the way of most things. You know, I've got a few of his books, and there's a few notes in some of his books and stuff like that, but I don't really have any of his sermons. I thought, until the Lord brought back to my remembrance, that after we were married, Katrina and I were married, and we moved over to Carloway, and I think Katrina's mother had something to do with the Women's Guild, and for some reason she had the Women's Guild book in her house, giving a record of all the people who'd spoken at the Women's Guild and what they'd spoken on. And this is the scripture that my father spoke on when he spoke at the Women's Guild in Carloway. And that's the only thing I know, and all I can remember of what he preached on. Habakkuk chapter 2. Who knows it's important to align the generations? Who knows it's important if we're going to receive from God, if we're going to experience the kingdom of God, we have to line up, first of all, with the throne of God, but we also need to line up generationally. Generationally. And align ourselves with those who've gone before us. Amen. Elisha could not afford to lose sight of Elijah if he was going to receive that double portion anointing that his heart was after. Amen. Remember, we looked at this several times over the years. Water runs downhill, doesn't it? Amen. Water runs downhill. In Psalm 133, it says that the anointing on Jesus, our high priest, runs down from the head down into the body. But you need to be in the right place. You know, you need to be in alignment, or you're not going to get hit with that oil. You're not going to get that anointing on you unless you're rightly positioned. Amen. So anyway, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. I'll start crying now. Wait a minute. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." And I remember in the notes of my father's message to that when he'd spoken to that Women's Guild over in Carloway, was that his heart to see revival. Now, he died 1983, and maybe he didn't see what he longed to see. He was born again in revival back in 1939, but maybe he didn't see what he was waiting to see and hoping to see and expecting to see. But we can see it. Yeah. I'm not inviting you back to the tomb of the Lewis revival. I want to tell you, the tomb of the Lewis revival is more than empty. We're not building a shrine to a past revival. That tomb is just as empty as Jesus' tomb. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? We ain't building a shrine here. Glory to God. We're looking for resurrection power. You see, the empty tomb points me to something. The empty tomb tells me something bigger and better is going on in the heart of God. I'm going to get away ahead of myself now, baby. Got to keep talking, you know. Amen. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. That's why I felt it's important the whole family of the church be in here this morning. I'll just let that pass. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And then in chapter 3, There's a verse, and I think this is from the NIV. It says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day, in our time, make them known. O Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day, in our time. Who knows this is the time? This is our time. Come on, why don't we say that? This is our time. This is our time. I believe this is our time. I'm not looking back to the tomb of the Lewis Revival, because that's an empty tomb. Thank God all those who experienced that, they're in the glory now. Most of them are already in the glory. Amen. And they're not looking back to the Lewis Revival because they're experiencing something far bigger and better now. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to John chapter 20. On Friday morning, Good Friday, I was in Edinburgh, and just as a first thing in the morning, I just like to spend some time saying, Lord, what's the word? I said, Lord, what's the word for this Easter time? And I thought I was just looking for a personal word, but it's grown into a word for the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in chapter 20, in verse 1, it says, Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know or understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again. Listen to this, please, this morning. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Who knows, this was the time. This was the turning point of all human history. This was the time for history to change forever. God's anger had been turned away. His justice had been satisfied. It was only going to be blessing from now on. Why don't we say it? It's only blessing from now on. Come on, let's say it like we mean it, like we understand it. It's only blessing from now on. The curse has been dealt with. And yet the disciples, and we're talking about the good guys here, didn't get it. Who knows, these guys have just spent 3 years in the greatest Bible school, even better than Bethel. Come on. Just spent 3 years in the greatest Bible school that has ever been. And yet they were in danger of missing everything that they'd been prepared and equipped for. And I believe, folks, I believe the Lord just stirred this in my heart the last couple of days. I believe this scenario is replayed every Sunday in the lives of many of God's people. I'm talking about the good guys. We have heard all of our lives about the empty tomb. And it's like we just accept it as another historical event that we acknowledge to be true. See, it says that the disciple looked in and believed. Yeah, he believed the tomb was empty. He didn't believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. He just believed the tomb was empty. Now, most of us this morning say, well, I believe there's an empty tomb. Some of you have been and looked, checked, and saw it was empty. Who's been and looked? Who's been in Israel and looked? Did we look in and said, oh, it's true, it's empty, right enough. Sent a postcard home, I've just been to the garden tomb. Guess what? It's empty. Both of them. Some of you, I'll let that fly anyway. Ho, come on. Hallelujah. Peter and John believed the tomb was empty, but they didn't have a handle on the full implications of that reality. Who knows the reason we meet on a Sunday? It's that morning. It's to remember so that we don't forget that everything changed forever on a Sunday and it still can. Come on. Some folks need to get, I don't know, I need to go and catch on a Sunday. Well, if you ain't got it by now, it's the first day of the week. If you start your week, we're not dragging ourselves in at the end of the week. Come on the seventh day. We're starting out on the first day. If you start the week with God, you've got a better chance of finishing it with Him. Come on. If you start the week with him, you've got a much better chance of finishing it with him. It's not how you start that's important all the time. It's how you finish. But I tell you, starting's important too. If you don't start, Ali will tell you that. He runs for a living, you know what I'm saying? He just works for other things. Spends more of his time running than working. But he'll tell you, if you don't start at the start, you're disqualified. Come on. Hallelujah. How many people still don't understand the full implications of the resurrection? How many people still aren't living in the fullness of that? Of what the empty tomb points to? How many hear the good news every week and go back to their own homes? Come on. Can't wait for the roast beef. Smith Wigglesworth said that the reason we don't have afternoon meetings is because people are full of roast beef and unbelief. Don't know what happens if you're full of turkey, I have no idea. How many people go back to their own homes just as if nothing's changed? As if nothing significant has happened? Still more gripped by fear than they are moved by faith. Come on, because that's what happened with these guys. Come on, they went and they saw the empty tomb and they went back to their own homes more gripped by faith than they were moved by faith. How many people have no expectation for supernatural, miraculous happenings in their lives? How many people still don't have the understanding of the full implication that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in them? That they've become a new creation to live life naturally, supernaturally, and supernaturally, naturally. For many people, it's just the same old, same old. They feel as if they've just been set up for another disappointment. Yes, they heard the good news. Yes, they heard what the preacher said. Yes, they heard that God wants to save them and heal them and deliver them and prosper them. But they feel as if they've just been set up for another disappointment. Come on. Just set up for another letdown. Just set up for another unrealized dream. Come on. That's what these guys were feeling that morning. I tell you, as many people leave our Sunday morning experiences the same way. Not understanding what's happened. Not understanding the extent of the change that has taken place. See, I want to tell you this one. These guys have been 3 years in the best Bible school that has ever been and ever will be. Does everyone agree with that? I want to tell you this morning, there's a place beyond principles. There's a place beyond basic discipleship, whether it's the Alpha course or any other course. There's a place beyond even committed church attendance and involvement. There's a place beyond playing the guitar and getting up to preach and being here to make sure things happen the way they're supposed to happen. There's a place beyond that. There's a place beyond all ministry activity, even of the very best kind, even of the most supernatural kind, and that's the place that Mary Magdalene went after. You see, the boys went home, but Mary stayed where she was. Verse 11, Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Say, seeking. Seeking. Hallelujah. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. She's standing outside the tomb weeping. She doesn't understand any more than Peter and John what's going on. But instead of just going home, she's going after understanding. Come on. And all you're getting, it says in Proverbs, get understanding. She may not have been able to articulate what it was, but she knew that there was more to the empty tomb than the others had taken from it. Something deep down the inside of her, there was something resonating on there. There's something more to that event than what the others have taken from it. She may have been weeping, and she may have been mourning, but the Word of God tells me that weeping might last for a night, but joy comes. Yeah. Come on. Ha, ha, hallelujah. Oh, Hosanna. He has risen. I've got a joy. Come on. Weeping might last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Jesus said this. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, she was mourning for something. She was mourning for the manifest presence of God. Come on, I said she was mourning for the manifest presence. I know a lot of people who do a lot of mourning about the lack of the manifest presence of God. Come on, who knows people like that? Who's been that person? But where are the people that are mourning the lack of expectation for the supernatural manifestation of the kingdom in the church? Where are the people who are mourning? Plenty of mourners, but where's the mourners? Because it's the mourners we need. Amen? We've got enough of the mourners. You see, the Bible says that God's eye scans the whole earth for one purpose, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. You see, Mary discovered what everyone discovers who go after God's presence. Because he is seeking you, if you seek him, you can't miss him. Because he is already seeking you, if you are seeking him, you can't miss one another. You know, it's those who go after God with their whole hearts. Those who can't live without his presence. Those who know at a deep level that they were created to live in his presence. These are the ones who experience angelic visitation. Hey, we have a word here. Saturday 14th of May. That must have been 2011. In fact, it was Rachel's mum. She was up for a couple of weeks. She was just worshipping the Lord down at Ali and Rachel's house. And the Lord showed her this room. Brought her to this room. And she saw the angels around the walls, worshipping the Lord. Come on, she said, I saw it. What did she say? She said, I just stuck in my Bible. I've had it there ever since. I saw the room, and then in the center, three mighty angels guarding the heavenly deposit. How many times do you come in here and just go back to your own home, not knowing you've been in the presence of angels who are sent by the Lord himself to protect you, to provide for you, to help you, to minister to you, to make his will manifest in your life? And yet we go home as if nothing changed, as if nothing happened. She goes on, she went on and she says, I had the sense of a shaft of light from heaven representing the purpose and vision of God for New Wine Church. It was being divinely guarded. Around the perimeter of the room were worshipping angels, no spaces between them. And between these angels and the mighty warrior angels, the space was filled with ministering angels. There were many lifting up angels amongst them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Those who go after God with their whole hearts, those who recognize they were created to live in his presence, they experience angelic visitation. They experience angelic assistance. More than once in the scripture it says the angels came and ministered to Jesus. Amen. Scripture tells us they are ministering angels that are sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Those with an expectation and expectancy in their hearts and in their lives that God really wants to save, heal, and deliver. In every situation and in every circumstance. And they have personal encounters with the risen Jesus, just like Mary Magdalene. I said they have personal encounters. They don't have third-hand stories. They have personal encounters with the risen Jesus. Because he's looking for you. So if you're looking for him, you can't miss him. I read this in the paper just on Friday. Apparently, listen to this, apparently fewer than 2 out of 10, that's what I want our kids the other day. Apparently fewer than 2 out of 10 Scottish people would even consider going to church on Easter Sunday. And more than half of Scotland's children have little or no idea why we celebrate Easter. And listen to this, more than a quarter, more than 25% of the children of Scotland think that Easter is a celebration of the birth of Easter Bunny. More than a quarter, more than 25% of Scotland's children think that it's a celebration of the birth of Easter Bunny. What's our response to the empty tomb today, folks? Will we go home unchanged today? Do we see the challenge that's been issued today to pursue the risen, living presence of Jesus? I'm talking about the Jesus who still declares us clean and righteous. I'm talking about the Jesus who still heals. I'm talking about the Jesus who still delivers, the Jesus who still prospers, the Jesus who still rewards those who diligently seek Him. Those who come to God must believe that He is, that He is I Am, that He's here right now, the eternally existent One, the One that's here right now. He's here in this place right now. Why is He here? Because He said He'd be here. See, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save. He came to heal. He came to deliver. That's why where He is, salvation is. Where He is, healing is. Where He is, deliverance is. Where He is, all of your needs are met. Ask the Lord, give me a good Presbyterian three-pointer for this. I'll just throw it in there in the middle of it all. And here's that He died to provide it. He rose again to prove it. And He ascended into heaven to pour it out. Hallelujah. He died to provide supernatural assistance, salvation, healing, and deliverance. He rose again to prove it. To prove it that He could provide it. Come on. And He ascended to the right hand of the Father to pour it out. But what happens? Peter and John went away to their own homes. But see, Mary wanted more. Who wants more? And she knew there was more. Somewhere down on the inside of her, deep was calling unto deep in her life. And she knew there was more. I began to think of some of the people that I know about that have wanted more. I began to think, this is John Knox saying, give me Scotland or I die. Come on. This is John Wesley, shunned by the Church of England and riding thousands of miles on horseback up and down the country, preaching salvation to thousands in the open air. This is D.L. Moody hearing about what God could do through one man who was completely sold out to Him and determined to be that man. Yeah. This is William Booth taking up the challenge to build a church within a yard of hell. This is Smith Wigglesworth walking into the house in mourning, lifting the corpse out of the coffin, sticking it up against the wall and rebuking death. And when it slid down the wall onto the floor, he picked it up again and rebuked death again. And when it slid down the wall onto the floor, he picked it up again and rebuked death a third time till life was restored. Amen. This is Duncan Campbell in his study crying out to God for power beyond the liberal theology of his day. This is the two old ladies in Barbados pleading one promise before a covenant God. This is one man among four in a barn in Barbados saying all our prayers are just so much humbug unless we address the question, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? We're told that he got no further because I believe the revelation of righteousness hit them that day. God answered the question and they were all out in the spirit, hallelujah, with clean hands and a pure heart. Come on. This is Jackie Pullinger. After being turned away by all of the respectable missionary societies, buying a ticket and a boat and getting off in Hong Kong because the Holy Spirit told her that this was her place of destiny. This is Rodney Howard Brown in South Africa crying out, if you don't come down, I'm coming up. This is Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship being willing to host the Holy Spirit to an extent that burst the wineskin of the cutting-edge charismatic denomination they were a part of. I can say that a bit slower if you want. Because that's the reality. That's what happened. And this is your and my opportunity to move beyond our fear and pursue the reward of our faith. Hallelujah. Going to close in a minute. Verse 19. In the same day, that evening, isn't it awesome? Well, I'll get him. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace with you. Isn't it amazing that Jesus shows up at Sunday night church? Come on. I believe something significant is going to happen here tonight. If we come together in faith, that will take us beyond our fear. Is there something in you that is responding to God's call and saying, yes, I know there's more to this empty tomb than just an empty tomb. I know there's something beyond. And see, sometimes we identify with the empty tomb because it kind of echoes what's in us. Come on. Because an empty tomb, that could have been a hopeless, for these guys that day, it was a hopeless situation. And it echoed the hopelessness they were feeling on the inside. And that's why there must be something beyond, because that we can just come to church over and over and over and over again. Yes, we can learn the principles and all these things are important. I ain't knocking that one bit. I love it. I want more and more principles of God's kingdom built into my life. But there's more than that. You see, the Holy Spirit needs to connect with that. The more of God needs to connect with that. I need to get beyond my comfort zone. I need to get beyond what I'm familiar with. I need to get beyond what I'm comfortable with. I need to get beyond what I already know. I might not have understanding of what's going on, but there's something in me that tells me God is doing something, and I want to be in there. I want to be a part of that. I want to have these angelic encounters. I want to have that personal encounter with the risen Jesus. I believe, see, in this place tonight, two streams are going to come together. And two streams can make a river. Even if one of the streams has been reduced to a bit of a trickle this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Two streams can make a river. Two rivers can make a sea. Hallelujah. You see, I want to tell you, the reason the tomb is empty today is so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. You hear what I said? The reason that the tomb is empty is so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. He died to provide it. He rose again to prove it. And he ascended to pour it out. And as I said earlier on, I believe this morning is the introduction for this evening. This vision is for an appointed time. I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time, right now. Make them known. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. The tomb is empty. And the reason the tomb is empty is so that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is there something in you this morning saying, yes, Lord, I believe there's something more to this empty tomb? I believe, God, that you're calling us to that place. For the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickened on the inside of us. He's been there. He's been here for so long just waiting for a people who go after him with all of their hearts to show himself strong on their behalf. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you just seal up this word this morning in our hearts. Lord God, that this would truly be, Lord, the starter for the main course. Lord, it would be the introduction, Lord God, to what you are going to do in this place this evening, Lord, as we hook up with you, Lord, as we just align ourselves with heaven. Align ourselves with the generations that have gone before. Thank you, Father. Lord, we believe tonight, as we have sown honor this morning, we will reap favor this evening. Hallelujah. Lord, I just quote Abashikobo Soko. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Chora Baba Sita Baba Soko. Come on, let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. If you're a believer, let the river flow this morning. Arababa Sita Baba Shaka. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth. In this place. In this island. In this time. In this building. In the lives of your people. Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And yours is the glory. Thank you for the empty tomb that points us to the risen Savior, seated upon the throne, who pours out all that he's provided, who proves his love and his faithfulness over and over and over and over again by pouring out that which he came to provide. In Jesus' name, Amen. 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 Let's get a shout going fast.